everyone, and welcome to New Matter, the SLAS podcast where we interview life science luminaries. I'm your host, Hannah Rosen, and today we are joined by Paul and Leone of Readily 3D. Readily 3D won the SLAS Europe 2023 New Product Award for their Tomalite bioprinter. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Hannah.
Hello, thank you.
So to start us off, could each of you just give us kind of a little bit about your professional backgrounds and your areas of expertise?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Paul Delroque, the CEO of Readily 3D. I'm a physicist by training with some relevant expertise in photonics, material sciences, and microengineering. I graduated with a PhD in photonics from EPFL in 2018, and I co-founded Readily 3D in 2020.
Thank you, Paul. And I'm Leonie. I'm the sales executive at Readily 3D. Before moving to Switzerland a year and a half ago, I was working as international sales in engineering industry. And now since I'm here, I'm tackling the biotechnology sector. So previously, I graduated from the INSA in Toulouse with a specialized master's in industrial business management. And as sales executive at Readily 3D, my mission is to accelerate the development of volumetric bioprinting market. So here we are.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy to have you here. To start off, I mean, congratulations on your award. How do you guys feel about winning the SLAS New Product Award?
Really great and happy. And let's say there's also proudness to win the SLAS New Product Award. You know, we always say that hard work always pays off. And winning this award is also a form of compensation of such hard work, but not just us, but of all the Readily 3D team. So we are definitely grateful and happy for it.
Fantastic. So I'm sure that winning the award was a great experience, but you know, overall, how was Readily 3D's experience at SLAS Europe 2023? Was this your first SLAS conference?
Yes, this year was our first SLAS conference. Actually, Paul and I, we went personally ourselves there. It was such an interesting, experience. It was a really big exhibition. We met a lot of professionals from all over Europe. It was SLAS Europe, but I would even say that there were people from all over the world. It was pretty intensive couple of days filled with the plenary sessions and meetings. And we also had some entertainment going on that was really nice. I personally met with people coming from different sectors, from academia, government researchers, and of course, the main leaders and the big companies and laboratory equipment providers. So for us, it was really enriching experience and we'd definitely come back.
Well, we'd love to hear that. So can you describe for us, you know, what is the Tomalite bioprinter?
Oh, so now let's jump into the Tomalite. So the Tomalite bioprinter is a really unique 3D bioprinter. Actually, it is volumetric. It's what we call a volumetric bioprinter, but it is also inspired from the tomography. This technology today allows biologists to print, for example, an entire cell-laden volume at once in less than 1 minute. It's quite fast, and that without impairing the cell viability, so with guaranteeing a really high result on cell viability.
Wow. I mean, that sounds amazing. I mean, it's super fast. And I've heard in the past, you know, we actually fairly recently did an episode on bioprinting, and there was a discussion of, you know, the difficulties with maintaining cell viability while 3D printing. So, you know, and this may get into a little bit about the ins and outs of volumetric bioprinting, which is something I'm not familiar with. So I'm excited to learn more about that. But how are you able to maintain the cell viability?
Cell viability is excellent because it's super fast. So the cells are contained within the cartridge, if you want, during the printing process. They're out of the culture medium for a very short amount of time, first. And second is that the laser light is fairly cell-friendly because it's a wavelength that is quite high. So it's not UV light, it's blue light, and it doesn't affect the cell viability.
So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what exactly is volumetric bioprinting and how is it different from other types of bioprinting?
Yeah. So the concept of volumetric bioprinting is to print the entire volume of a 3D bioconstruct all at once. It's based on photopolymerization. So you need a photopolymer. That's a polymer that can cross-link when you shine it with light. And volumetric bioprinting is achieved by illuminating this photopolymer with a sequence of light, laser light patterns. And after a while, the accumulation of light dose is going to locally cross-link the photopolymer to generate the desired 3D object, which is the bioprint that you want to achieve. So compared to other 3D bioprinters, it's at least one order of magnitude faster, and it's contactless. So there is no shear stress, no mechanical contact with the resin and the cells laden within the resin. So there is no contamination because the whole printing process happens in a glass vial that can be autoclaved before the printing process. Then the post-printing viability is quite unique and really good.
Wow. So how is the resin excreted then? Because you said that, you know, there's no shearing. So is it not, you know, traditionally when you think of bioprinters, you think of like a layer by layer being put down. So how is this being excreted and shaped with the light?
It's based on the same principles as medical tomography, so CT scanners. You know, these scanners, when you go to the hospitals, that turn around you to scan your body. And then mathematically, they can reconstruct what was inside your body thanks to these X-ray scans. In our device, this is fairly similar, except that we know what we want to print. Instead of imaging, we print, and we can compute what are the laser images project onto the rotating printing vial. And thanks to that, you can precisely deposit a 3D light dose within the photopolymer that's going to cross-link only the desired 3D object.
That, I mean, that sounds like science fiction, honestly. That's amazing. So it's almost like the opposite of a CT scan. Instead of, you know, capturing the image, it's producing an object.
Yeah, correct.
We'd like to say it's the reverse engineering of the CT.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's incredible. That is so cool. I won't even pretend that I completely understand the science behind it, but that just, it's blowing my mind. It sounds amazing. So how big is the Tomolite bioprinter then?
Actually, that is also a part of what we call the uniqueness of the Tomolite, because the Tomolite is a pretty compact, a hardware that can definitely be placed on a table or on a bench. It's a tabletop version. So we can compare it, for example, with an HP printer. It's around 18 kilos.
The footprint is 30 by 65.
65. It's pretty compact, but it contains a quiet complexity under the hood. We made it as simple and user-friendly as possible to the user.
This is the first time I'm hearing of this concept of volumetric bioprinting. Are there other volumetric bioprinters on the market, or are you guys the first ones?
So we are the first ones. We know that there are some research ongoing on other volumetric bioprinting techniques, but nothing commercially available at the moment, I think, except ours.
More particularly in the volumetric bioprinting with tomography technique, that is where we are really the only ones.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't even need to ask this question now that I have coming up next, but you know, I'd love to give you guys an opportunity to brag a bit more about this product. So can you tell us a little bit more about what do you feel makes the Tomolite new and innovative in this bioprinting sphere?
Well, as we discussed, it's fast and contactless. So there is an excellent viability for the cells and even the organoids that can be embedded within the resin. You could scale this bioprinting technique to centimetric objects. And it's innovative because you need a good mix of hardware and software engineering. You need some specific hardware to shine light very precisely and very timely onto the resin. And the projection algorithm is also fairly complex. It took us some time to design it.
Yeah, how difficult is this product to use?
Oh, it's really not difficult. It's at the contrary, quite simple. Even, a non-expert in bioprinting could really jump in very fast.
And in terms of, you know, you mentioned the cartridges for the material for bioprinting. I'm curious to know a little bit more about those. You know, how shelf stable are they? How much, you know, different do they need to come to you? Do you have particular cell lines that you're working with that you can offer, or can people use their own cell lines to print?
Yeah, so it's an open platform. People can use, our users, they can synthesize their own resins and use their own cell lines. We have demonstrated that the printer works with a wide range of cell types and organoid types, and also with many different resins. You can actually, it's not only limited to bioprinting. You can also 3D print acellular things with acrylic resins or silicon, even glass resins. And we do offer a starter kit to our users so that they can try the printer with some standard resin, hydrogel. The feedback we've got is that it's fairly easy to use it. You just need to load an STL file, which is a 3D representation of the object you want to print. And then within a few clicks, you can print something within 30 seconds.
Wow. I mean, that's just incredibly fast. And then, you know, do you have to also take into consideration then the cell culture time as well? Did the cells need to culture then within the structure that you've 3D printed?
So you can print directly with the cells laden in the resin. You can suspend them in the resin. Most of the time we use a thermoresponsive hydrogel to print, which is gelma. And this gelma, which is a kind of gelatin, if you cool it down, it's going to form a gel, and you can print it in a gel state. In this way, you will print with a nice cell suspension. And then to develop the structure, once you have printed it, you can just warm it up, and the parts that were not cross-linked, they will liquefy, and you can collect the solid object, gelatinous object, with the cells embedded, and you put that in a culture medium.
So the time that it is put in the culture medium is not counted with the printing process?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair.
Fast.
That's fair. Fantastic. So, you know, you mentioned organoids seem to be a big go-to for 3D printing with this. You know, what type of research would the Tomalite bioprinter be ideal for?
Today, let's say there's no boundaries for research and no boundaries for, let's say, evolving the research and medicine. But however, in the recent years and what we have in record so far, our technology of tomographic volumetric bioprinting has been used to, for example, build some functional hepatic constructs or automatically correct porous bone models. We can also think of multi-material perfusible bioconstructs. And there is even one group of researchers who has done 3D pancreatic cancer models. We also want to highlight that with our technology and with the Tomalite, we can achieve really high throughput and a high repeatability of the bioprinting constructs. And such models could be used later on for drug development and drug discovery. And let's say on another note that the scalability of the volumetric bioprinting, it makes it very relevant for regenerative medicine applications.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, do you see a future where the Tomalite could potentially be used to generate entire organs or tissues?
Well, yes, in the long term. But, you know, people have claimed for a while that we were almost there, almost ready to bioprint organs, tissues, to do bone repairs. But I think we are not yet there. There's still what we call diffusion limit to overcome, which is if you want to build a large living object, you need also to vascularize it. And this is fairly complex. We have a bioprinting technique that allows designing and printing this vascular network, but there are other challenges to overcome before we can bioprint something and directly implant it within a patient.
Yeah, it sounds to me a lot like the conversations that we keep having around artificial intelligence, where people keep saying it's right around the corner, and then the closer we get, the more people realize that, oh, this is actually a lot more complicated. and that benchmark keeps getting pushed back.
Definitely. And there's something that maybe I would like to emphasize on is that we often see a lot of videos and posts of 3D printing of, let's say, an organ, a heart or a brain, but people do not realize that this is not bioprinting, and that to print any 3D object in, let's say, I don't know, in a material that is not a gel or a soft material, it's quite easy. But to bioprinting, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, because I think that a lot of times, you know, you don't think about the fact that the cells need to be able to grow and flourish, and this material that you're bioprinting, you know, it's not the tissue. You're not just, like, I think when people hear bioprinting, a lot of times your brain just immediately goes to, like, oh, like the tissue is just coming out of the machine.
Yes. Definitely. And that's why there's some kind of awareness that need to be raised around the confusion between 3D printing and 3D bioprinting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, would you like to elaborate on that a little bit more? I know that, you know, you've spoken to it, but is there anything else with that confusion that you think you'd like to clear up right now?
Well, if you 3D print an object with living cells in it, it doesn't mean that it's already an organ. It can have the shape of an organ, but it's possibly not functional. Meaning that if I bioprint tendon, for instance, for tendon repair, it might be a very simple structure with the correct cell lines and so on, but I still need to make it functional before I implant it. So I will need to, let's say, stretch it many cycles to make sure it has the right mechanical properties to be implanted directly within a body.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Why, if people came to you and asked, you know, well, I already have the ability to create organoids, why should I create them through 3D printing? You know, what would you say to those people?
Well, when you develop the organoids, we heard that there is an issue with viability. So you might have some variance in the size and the shape of the organoids and even their function in the end. So if you were to bioprint, let's say, the scaffold around the organoid, you might see better reproducibility in their growth and function.
Yeah, great. So it sounds like this is great, especially you'd mentioned high throughput, because you're getting a lot of more consistency with the 3D bioprinting.
Right.
Are there any disadvantages to using the Tomoli volumetric bioprinting system?
On the current device, there's still a bit of manual labor that you need to do to collect the parts that were printed. And we are working on that. We are working on ways to further automate the device to not have any manual labor. And also, there is an upper limit in the cell concentration that you can print, because cells, they tend to scatter light. And if you print with a very high cell concentration, you will see a lot of light scattering, which is going to have a detrimental effect on the printing resolution. Again, we are working on that. We have different ways to improve the performances with a high cell concentrations, and almost there also to roll out these add-ons on the market.
So this is a brand new way of bioprinting. What inspired you to come up with volumetric bioprinting and to create the Tomoli bioprinter?
Well, we need to come back to my PhD studies. That was a while ago. We were looking for a way to avoid layer by layer 3D printing, because it has many disadvantages. As we said, you have some mechanical shear stress. The resin is exposed to the atmosphere when you print. It's slow. So in the end, we were looking for a way to make it faster and safer for the resin and what's inside the resin. And we just had aha moment we had a lecture in image processing, which was dealing with CT scanners, actually. And we just connected the dots to to make this tomographic illumination available for volumetric bioprinting.
Wow. I mean, how long did it take you to figure out how to do this?
Well, actually, it was quite fast to get a working prototype. Like it's what you call a Friday afternoon experiment. At the beginning, we struggled a bit with the resins that you need to bioprint because we were not experts in polymer synthesis. But it was quite fast to get something working, at least in the lab. But then to get a standalone prototype took us 6 months about, and then you need to certify the device and so on. So it took a year or so to get a certified standalone product.
Wow. I mean, that's so fast. I was like, when you describe this technology, I'm like thinking you guys spent like a decade in trying to develop this and you just had the idea and boom, you did it. That's amazing.
Oh, huh?
Very impressive. So, you know, I mean, it took you a year to create the product. What are you looking forward to accomplishing in the next year with the Tomalite?
First of all, what we look forward to accomplish, let's say from now until next year, is to mainly spread the word as much as possible that an innovative technology such as the Tomalite already exists and is ready to be used on the market. And that is a really game changer in the world of bioprinting for our researchers. So I think that our best accomplishment and reward would be is to see the Tomalite to be fully exploited and put to good use in the hands of the researchers. But, well, as you know, when we are, let's say, today in a technology field and we are talking about an innovation, of course, there are a lot of challenges that that face us. And one of the main challenges today is that, and that we are aware of, is that there's always a race to evolution and to competition and that we need to keep up with. So really, to be completely transparent, and as Paul previously said just before, that we do have some new ideas cooking in our R&D labs, and we do have other ideas to improve the Tomalite that we cannot start sharing for the moment. But I'd like to send out a shout out to everyone who's listening to us today to follow us on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter X, and to stay up to date with our latest updates and news, and more particularly our new product launch that will be coming by next year.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that kind of does lead me into my next question. And it sounds like maybe you're not ready to talk about it yet, but I am wondering, you know, what are the long-term goals at Readily 3D?
Well, we do like to also see the big picture as well. But let's say that what we can say today is that the Tomalite is already in use in several R&D labs all around the world. We also have more than a dozen of papers that has been published with achieved results and also with proof of cell viability. So to resume, today we have a product that is the Tomalite, our volumetric 3D bioprinter that is designed to be the most organoid and cell-friendly technique that we know of today. And we aim that one day it would be leveraged as a key instrument for researchers to use as an alternative to animal testing. It can be, for example, for drug discovery or for evolving medicine and regenerative medicine applications.
Great. So if there is a researcher out there listening to this podcast right now and they are just, they're hooked, they're all in on the Tomalite, what would they need to know before they're able to kind of get started using the Tomalite bioprinter?
Well, there's not much to learn. They can just contact us for a live demo. It's fairly easy to demonstrate how the device works online. As I said, you can start using the printer without prior knowledge of how 3D bioprinting or 3D printing works, because all you need to do is to import in our software, an STL file, which is a 3D object of what you want to print. And then in a few clicks, you can just print it with our standard resin.
Mm-hmm. So to sum up on that, I would like to ensure to everyone, not to be, let's say, scared to jump in the bioprinting. It's a very user-friendly and it's very intuitive and easy to use.
Wonderful. Well, is there, before we conclude our podcast for today, is there anything else that you would like to add or let people know about the Tomalite or Readily 3D?
Well, we'd be on the road. So if people are interested in learning more about volumetric bioprinting and the Tomalite, I'm sure we'll meet during the different trade shows that we plan to attend within the next few months.
Mm-hmm. And they can also, for any question or request for information, feel free to get in touch and ask us simply.
Wonderful. Well, Paul, Leone, thank you both so much for taking the time out of your day to sit down and tell me about this Tomalite. Like I said, my mind is blown. I am so excited by this new technology, and I'm sure our listeners are too. And so I'm just really looking forward to seeing where you guys go with this technology and seeing Readily 3D at our future SLAS events.